Welcome to Kings Cast with Eric and Ryan. This is your weekly Sacramento Kings podcast for Kings fans by Kings fans. As always, this episode is brought to you by Ziggy's Smoke Shop. You can follow Ziggy's on Instagram at ziggys.stockton. And they have locations in Stockton and Tracy. Ryan and I are coming off of a really fun episode last week where we came in and got to talk about the first week of the Kings games. It was a great time. If you're looking for that episode or any of our other episodes, you can always find those streaming on the Believe Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts. Bringing in my co-host today, as always, Ryan.
What's good?
What is going on? We're recording Sunday morning, November 6th. We're here pretty early. Is the time change. I've been up for a while, but the time change fell back today. But we are recording early because it's fucking football season. And I'm going to go sit on my couch and not move from 10 a.m. till about 7:30 p.m. I'm extremely excited. I got a shit ton of chores to do around the house that I'm absolutely not going to do. So it's a good Sunday, man. I'm extremely happy to be here. De'Aaron Fox from the logo last night in Orlando to call game in overtime was a very, very good sight to see, even though they probably should have been up by a lot more and probably won the game in regulation. I'm sure we're going to hop into it, but bad teams, man, you don't let them stick around.
It was a fun game for sure. Not a fun game, fun ending to a game. I never lost faith, Ryan. And because middle of the game, they're down, they're chasing. And I did say on Kingsland game thread, I did say bet the money line on the Kings. It was like plus, 300 or something. Someone's like, are you sure? And I'm like, you got to pay to play, boys. Speaking of betting, Ryan, bet online. I'm going to read the ad right now because I want you guys to get this stuff in. You guys need to get on it because Ryan and I are on it. Basketball's back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all of your sports betting needs this season. You always find the latest odds, team matchup info, players, news, and games trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports and events. Whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf, head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Ryan, I always wonder about the shows out there because I that aren't talking about betting. I feel like that's like part of the deal now for podcasts and YouTube shows and all of that. And I don't know. I don't really see too much betting talk. I've seen a little bit out there. Like, how about Kingdom started putting a little, stuff out there. But out in Kingsland, I don't see anybody talking about betting besides us. And I'm wondering why that is, man.
Yeah. A lot of people just don't know how to bet, though. Like, to be real, it's still early in the game to where a lot of people just, aren't edumacated on that. Or, some people are just fucking cheap asses, so. I love the bets, man. I bet every single day. Sorry, I was a little distracted as you were talking on there, dude. I scroll Twitter while we're talking just to, just in case any breaking news pops up that we can break on the podcast that we don't even record live. But
journalism.
Dude, as you're talking, there's like this fake tweet going out about Kyrie Irving retiring after all the bullshit. So I was a little distracted trying to look into that. Not fucking true as usual.
Well, okay, I guess journalism. I guess maybe that goes into it. Maybe a lot of the people want to be professionals. They're trying to be too legit media, and they don't want to touch the stuff. They don't want to cuss. They don't want to, have hard takes. They want to be journalists. So maybe that's why they don't talk about betting. So that could be it. And we're not that. Let's talk. I'm going to break in the player, actually. I'm going to break in the player. That's what we got to bring in the pot. I got a player this time. I got you last week, Ryan.
No, you didn't.
No, you did. Okay, you got it. My bad. It was Antonio Davis. That's last week's player. All right. Here's our segment. We're bringing the podcast where I give Ryan a random NBA player from our childhood, and he has to guess the player based on their bio. This player, Ryan, he is from Yugoslavia. He's Slovenian, Serbian, Greek. Yugoslavian, 7 feet tall, 255 pounds. First pick In the first round, 17th pick, in the 1998 draft by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Played overseas until 99. Here's his teams, Ryan. 99-03, Timberwolves. 03-06, Spurs. 06-08, Raptors. 08-09, Pacers. Finished his career off with a slight stint in the Raptors. He won a championship in 05, Ryan. And let's see. That's probably as much as I'm willing to give you here.
You say 6'10"?
He is 7 feet tall. They don't make him like this anymore, is all I'm gonna say.
They don't make him like this. Played for, drafted by Minnesota in 99. Played on there till 03. Then he was on the Spurs right after that.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, it's not Rajan Ostarević. Is it? Yeah, Rajan Ostarević. I mean, that's the only person I could think of, but
yeah, it's Rajan Ostarević. They don't make him like Rajan Ostarević no more. Big body.
I didn't realize he. Yeah. That fool hella sucked. All right, this is my thing about Rajan Ostarević. Okay, back in the day, like when we used to play hella NBA Live, like 04 and 05 and shit, dude, the Spurs were loaded. Like, I remember, like, but you couldn't use the Spurs on the game because Rajan Ostarević's punk ass was on the roster, dude. Like, and I remember just being pissed off because I'm like, man, this Spurs team, I remember putting Tim Duncan at center and putting Robert Horry in the game and turning that fatigue off, bro, just so I didn't have to play Rajan Ostarević's punk ass.
They just don't make them like this anymore. And that's just, you know, sometimes I point out these players and what's going through my head as I'm reading them, I was like, dude, would this player even fucking play in the NBA now? And I don't think Rajan Ostarević would play in the NBA. But then you got to think about the evolution and like maybe he would shoot. I don't know. I don't really want to play that game right now, but a classic from back in the day. All right. So let's talk about the Kings, man, because there's a lot of games this week. And let's see, pulling up the schedule, where to start. We can start last night because it's fresh on their minds and then we can probably go from there. All right. So they come out last night. They're getting dogged early, and then everyone is just on the threads. It's just like, we shouldn't have taken them lightly. I'm like, okay, I don't think anybody took them lightly. It's kind of surprising. The Magic are definitely one of those teams, I'll start this off, Ryan, that just has been bad for a long time now, and they made a trade to get even more picks. So they just got like a bunch of random young players. I don't really see a lot of meshing going on there entirely. I think eventually it'll come. But a lot of cool young athletic players. And so I guess you can explain that's why it came out. I think the Kings have some weaknesses, which we could talk about. But like I had mentioned, halfway through, you know, I'm telling everyone bet the Kings money line because I'm just going to play the odds. Kings are better. And really this last week, Ryan, they've shown that they get down, they make adjustments. You made that comment to me when we were talking before. Like, they get down, they make adjustments. And honestly, De'Aaron Fox just balling out. I'm going to put my faith in him when it comes down to it. You get a 10-point game against a bad team in the second half, I'm going to bet him to close the gap. And that's kind of what happened last night, plus the game winner. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, anytime that, when you're playing a team like Orlando, like I said, bad team, some good young pieces, and you clearly are the best player on the court. Clearly, at some point, all right, and this is what a lot of people have hated on De'Aaron Fox about. At some point, people are like, at some point, he's got to take over. At some point, for all these years, he's got to do something. He fucking last night, he said, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm fucking tired of this. I'm not going to let Jalen Suggs guard me. Right? Like, you're going to try to put Bol Bol on me with like 25 seconds left in the game. Are you fucking kidding me? Okay. At some point you got to step up and say enough's enough. And I think De'Aaron Fox last night officially said, you know what? I'm the best fucking player on the court. A lot of times that I step out there, I'm ending this shit right now. And he went on that run. What was it? 12 points in the fourth quarter and in overtime. You know, and it was like, and I think it was the 12 points, like pretty much from like 3 minutes in, from 3 minutes to the end of the game through the fourth quarter. So, or through the overtime. But I mean, yeah, enough was enough, man. De'Aaron Fox said, fuck it, dude. And that's what you want to see, man. That's the kind of stuff that, that needs to happen. And then you touched on how, you know, they've made some changes a couple times in the second half. It came out and came back and won those games. You would like to see when they're playing, you know, those teams that they take care of them early, but I'm not going to complain about wins, man. A win's a win, and it's the NBA. And you know, I don't know. You said overlooking. I don't really understand that either. Sacramento's been in Florida for the last like 6 days. They're probably all partying and shit. So, you know, just good to get out of there with the win, man. Now we're coming back home.
Well, and I think that because the Magic had won a big game a couple days before, people were just saying that. Like, I don't know. That's just the commentary, I guess. One thing on the Magic, real quick, before I go back to Fox, is Paolo Banchero. That dude's dope, dude. He's more athletic than I thought he would. I mean, he's like more skilled, not athletic. He's more skilled than I thought he would be right away. You never know when guys are coming into the league because they are athletic and they have the size, but you kind of wonder. That dude is he can take the ball from baseline to baseline. He can handle the ball. He was pulling up on mid range. That guy's gonna be really good. So that was fun to watch. Bol Bol was it's amazing. I want to talk about this more. It's amazing how Bol Bol just torched Harrison Barnes. Just I made a joke on Twitter. So I was like, you know, Bol Bol is, you know, better than HB is a joke. All right, real quick on Fox, real quick. I had a couple of notes. I saw this, and I'm gonna go with that. It's true because this is per sources. It says that De'Aaron Fox, Ryan, hasn't missed a free throw in five straight games. 21 for 21. I saw that. So I'm gonna go with that. That's great. Last week, you and I had talked about De'Aaron Fox and. That's something we had a little bit of conversation around. I believe you pointed out a lot was about his free throws and what that can do. And last night, even in a technical situation, he shot the free throws, which is saying a lot. So that's huge. And then as far as taking over the game, De'Aaron Fox is his willingness to pull up from mid range. He hit two big ones like in the last few minutes. He banked the one to kind of. Get them right there at the end. And then he's even pulled a couple threes, free throws. So, yeah, the willingness to take over, the confidence, the stats are reflective of that. I mean, at this point, he's starting to kind of close the gap on what the naysayers were saying. And I get Ella juiced when he does well. And then he obviously hits the full court shot. And one thing I put out was like, everybody who doubted this dude the last year can just kiss my ass. Cause there's so many people out there, even in Kingsland, who just doubted that dude, man, last year, just hating. It's like some point, be along for the ride. The guy's young. He's taken to the next level. Like, I, you know, no, there's no criticism you can put on the dude right now at all. Really?
Yeah. I don't know where you would try to hate on his game, dude. I don't know. He's all around, better, but you know, I don't know, Eric. Do you think he's that much better than he was last year, or do you think the situation in Sacramento is just that much better, right? Like, me and you have kind of been about this for a few years. The only thing that I'll give him is obviously that free throw shooting has improved. You know, 21 for his last 21, I didn't see that, but if that's true, you know, great. That's your big improvement, you know. But me and you have been huge advocates for De'Aaron Fox in the last few years, and we've been saying, like, dude, this guy's a fucking star. But, you know, when you're in a shit situation with a shit coach and you know, obviously playing out of position like he was playing off ball for most of the season last year. You know, now it's finally playing to De'Aaron Fox's strengths, and look what's happening. You know, the guy is going to average over 26 points per game this year, right? Like, the guy, you know, is going to be on the all-star ballot, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a real case for him to be an all-star this year. So, yeah, man.
To answer your question, I believe that it's more he was at this level last year because he showed it the year before. Dude dropped 25 a game the year before, and then they go into last year and they want to play Tyrese Haliburton and move him off ball. We talked about it for a year. We were on that shit, and that was probably the biggest hill we were willing to die on last year was that they're doing a massive disservice to the best player. And when you look back at this, like a 5-year stretch of De'Aaron Fox's career, one day you're going to look back and you see this little dumpy little down year. If you look at it on a graph, you're going to see a down year and then blimp right back up to baseline, which will probably continue to be his baseline for some time. And that is strictly due to coaching and his role. And when you move a guy out of position like that, last year for the first 2 months, Fox was timid, didn't really know what to do. The Kings sucked. There wasn't a great shooters. The talent in the team was kind of garbage. It was not a good situation. So that's why, you know, to give us credit, so to speak, Ryan, is like that last year people weren't willing to see that. And to us, it was extremely obvious. Like, it was really obvious, but people weren't willing to, couldn't see that last year. So all these takes that come out to us were just baffling. And I'm glad to see him come back. And we always say something about players is they always regress to their mean, Ryan, or they always get back to that if, you know, progress to it, if that makes sense. So they basically are what they are. And, you know, so you can't be too opinionated when there's a small sample size of an extreme one way kind of or the other, I guess. And so that's kind of what happened last year is that people started. And you know what I think it was last year? And I think it was all the people that didn't want it. For some reason, there's this group of people in Kingsland that exists that just don't want to see De'Aaron Fox succeed because they don't. For some reason, they don't like that type of basketball or something. I don't know. They'd much prefer to see some pick and roll, you know, point guard that can shoot a three. I don't know. It's because not what they per se like that they want to bring it down. And so any the moment that they got the opportunity to kind of feel some type of affirmation from other people when it came to Fox, they were jumping all over it. But where are they now? You know, they look dumb. It's the same people who had dumb takes for the last couple of years with Holmes, with Bogey, with tanking. So it's the same people, dummies, dumbasses, you know?
Yeah, you still see those same exact people. I'm sure if you guys are on Twitter and Kingsland and stuff, you're still seeing those same people making posts about Tyrese Halliburton, talking about how good he is and all this shit. You know, it's just, you've said it multiple times, but you know, it's all them people just trying so hard to be right about something so wrong.
Yeah,
know?
They're just trying to be right, man.
They're just trying to be right, dude. And it's like, bro, like, you know, it's okay not to be right. You know, like, we've had some takes, I'm sure, if we look back and, yeah, I was probably wrong about that. It's okay. But when you start digging yourself into a hole and you start doubling down just because, like, you want to be right so bad, you just start doubling down on shit takes instead of taking a step back and be like, you know what? I was wrong. That's cool. Good. I'm glad it ended up working out in the long run. You know, that's should be how it's done. But you start making stupid ass. I hate that crap, dude. I see it every day in Kingsland, dude, and every single day. I don't even bother with it no more, dude. I don't give people the time of day who make shit takes like that and double and triple down on them.
That's just some real life shit. People like that. People in life are like that. They just want to, I don't know. They just want to be that. Just call it what it is. And you know, if you don't know, then don't be so aggressive in your take. Like, if you're unsure, there's a lot of things that I stay away from on here, Ryan, because I'm not really sure. I remember the podcast last week. You had said something about KZ Okpolo in the first game or two. Like, I had my doubts, but like you had made a line. You're like, I don't know. Maybe there's something I don't know. You know, I don't know. You know, so sometimes you could, yeah, that's why we're very much against when people try to use locker room guy as a fucking like attribute to, you're not in there. You don't know. You really don't know. And honestly, it doesn't even translate to the court anyway. We stay away from a heavy X and O's stuff on here because am I really good? You know, at the end of the day, who are you guys going to believe? Like, fucking me and Ryan, or are you going to believe, you know, the coaches? Like, now we can have opinions about usage and this and that, but sometimes, like, you stay away from what you don't know, and you can have your opinion, but you don't have to die on that fucking hill and be so aggressive about it. And that's really what happened, is that people, like you said, they wanted to be right about being so wrong, and then they doubled. How many times have you seen that, even outside of the Kings? You've seen people that just do things like that in life. Like, they just want to, it's like probably my biggest pet peeve in life, is when people just talk out of their ass and say stuff, and you just know, you're like, come on, dude. Like, that's not. And I think that's really what happened. And the thing on Tyrese Halliburton, Ryan, because I'm going to reference the Bill Simmons, quote, article, podcast, take, whatever it was that came out this last week. And it said that maybe the Kings should trade De'Aaron Fox to the Lakers for Russell Westbrook in the 2027, 29, 28 first round pick. Okay. Like, how, Ryan, we haven't done a trash take in the week in a long time. That's something we used to do early on the podcast, and we stopped doing that. But you know what? Trash take of the week, dude. Really try. Oh, you're going to trade De'Aaron Fox to the Lakers for Russell Westbrook and a 2028 for, hey, fan base, you know, let's wait 6 years, 6 more years for that payoff, and you can get Russell Westbrook's expiring contract. That's fucking stupid. That's so stupid.
Look, you know, it's funny you brought that up because Damian Barling had a tweet that I was just looking at right now referring to that same thing. It says Davion Mitchell's the best guard on the Sacramento Kings with a bunch of clown emojis.
Oh yeah, and that was the other thing. It was built around Davion Mitchell. It was built around, and it's the same exact thing. Yes, two years in a row. It was built around Davion
Mitchell, dude. Yeah,
it's 2 years in a row. Everyone sees. We've talked about that take before on KingsCast hell of times. Is that's one of my fucking most frustrating things about young potential bench players, is that they get all the benefit and reward of what they could do, what they potentially could do in time, but they never actually have to prove it. So when that's what happened last year with Haliburton, and that's what some of these dumbass people, very small minority, are doing with Davion Mitchell, is that they're comparing, you know, De'Aaron Fox, who's compounded success over and over in this league, to a Davion Mitchell who's never had to do it, right? But, you know, for some reason gets benefit of the doubt. For some reason, you know, he never has to prove it. It's like, that's stupid, dude. That's a stupid thing. It's a potential small sample size. You know, that's why I hate that per 48 stat, Ryan. It's the dumbest shit ever. Cool. Like, if you know, it's dumb, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. All the takes are dumb, and it's just people just trying to be right. It's just people trying to double down. And honestly, dude, haters gonna hate, bro. That's really what it comes down to. So something that I wanted to talk about to move us into, because it's been a trend this season, and I wanted to hear your take on it. It's about Sabonis. So Sabonis is, I like Sabonis, and I'm probably an apologist, if there is one, for Sabonis. And we can go into that, I guess, but there's some criticism on the dude around Kingsland. And when we did our thing, or we always do our thing ahead of the season, like number one player who KingsCast is going to have to defend. And I don't think either of us listed Sabonis, but I feel like that might, I'm gonna have to change my pick, dude. That might be the guy this year. I might have to be fending off fuckers. You know, what do you think?
Yeah, the guy's got some flaws, but you know, everybody has flaws. Okay. And you've always talked about is, especially like in a team like Sacramento, dude, when you know, you haven't been very good and stuff, it's, your flaws are going to be out there for everybody to see, but it's ultimately the responsibility of the front office and the coaching staff to hide your flaws. Okay.
Great. Hey, that's Great take.
It's no secret that Domantas Sabonis is not a rim protector. Okay. There's no secret. He doesn't play defense. Okay. He's been in foul trouble almost every single game of the season. All right. But what does the front office and the coaching staff do? They give him an undersized Rashawn Holmes, who's proven now 100% that he shouldn't have got any type of money. The guy, in my opinion, is exactly who we thought he was. He's a probably third big man, you know, off the bench for most teams. That's who you've surrounded him with. That's the, you know, Keegan Murray, who's a rookie. Okay, who's not going to rim protect. Harrison Barnes, who plays the four a lot, is not going to rim protect. So your job as a franchise, especially when you have a 25-year-old two-time All-Star, is to hide his flaws, all right? You need him to do what he's good at. Don't ask him to do what he's not good at. And that's kind of what happened. And that's going to be, like you said, that's the hill we're going to have to die on, man. Like, Sacramento has not done him any type of justice in bringing in a rim protector. You know, and bringing in somebody who can hide those flaws. So it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be a long year with that dude. And, you know, it kind of goes towards the Buddy Hield things from the last few years. Buddy Hield was a straight jump shooter. That is all. But when you ask him to play make and you ask him to have the ball in his hands and distribute, and you ask him to try to take guys off the dribble and stuff, what happens? The guy looks like a bag of ass. And now he's back having probably his best year of his career so far. You know, you have to play to your player's strengths, not to their weaknesses. Have them, you know, do what they do, and don't ask them to do what they don't do. So
the guy lives down on an island down low. I mean, the Kings are a soft team around the perimeter for the most part. And honestly, a soft team down low because they don't have anybody else they can even put down there. It's like Alex Len, they don't even want to play him. Holmes is a absolute non-factor. He is a non-factor. I've been putting it out this week. You know, Ryan, maybe petty of me. It may be me being an asshole and immature. I'll accept that. But Jesus Christ, for 2 years, dude, we had to argue with people legitimately about Rashawn Holmes and how not good he is. You know, or not that he's not good, but not as good as they propped him up to be. Okay. Like, it was so annoying. And it was so annoying that now he's got the money. He's got the money. The dude makes $12 million. He's on the hook for 3 more years, making $12 million. Okay. He is a straight non-fucking factor. So they can't even play him. Okay. And I mean, last night they threw in Metu. Metu looks even better than Holmes. What the hell, dude? You know, the other guy I like, and I was getting kind of some pushback because I like Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles seems to be the only guy I can go out there and play. Trey Lyles can hit a three. I think he hit four of them against Orlando the other day. He hits a three. He plays a little defense. Dude, is Trey Lyles the guy? No. Is he the NWL? No. But he's the one. He's the only guy, honestly, out of the front court besides Sabonis who can play. And guess what he doesn't do? He ain't covering the rim. He ain't playing defense. He's undersized. That's kind of his deal. So, yeah, fucking it's on the front office to put guys around him. And that's where I'm going to defend and fend off people all year on Sabonis is I won't even criticize the guy, honestly, because I know what he is. Like, yeah, he's not the best free throw shooter. And even so, last night he dropped, you have to quote me, Ryan, but I'm pretty sure he dropped like 25.
He was 25 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists.
And that's literally going like 3 for 9 from the free throw line,
on 10 of 14 from the field and 0 for 1 from the 3-point line and 5 for 12 on his free throws.
5 for 12. So even he had a couple at the end of the game, but at one point he's 1 for 7, he's getting crushed. So even with that, here's the thing about Sabonis. As much as he is soft in a lot of areas, the guy scores and the guy fucking rebounds. Okay, now, if Sabonis was one of these guys out there that, you know, like a Ryan, like a Jaren Jackson, okay, who gets 18 points, 17 points, 16, but only gets like 6 rebounds or 5 rebounds, okay, that shit would piss me off. And I would actually be totally against that guy for the rest of my life. But, dude, he gets double-digit rebounds. I mean, he had 15 the other game. You know, the guy rebounds, so at least he does that. No one else does it. How many times in the last couple of years, Ryan, have you and I went into the arena before he got here, and we would just completely bet the opposing team centers over on rebounds, regardless of how much it was, and we would pretty much hit. It was easy money, dude. I don't even make that bet anymore. So, you know, you're right. You got to cover him. And then I will say, like I said, not the X's and O's, I'm not going to break it down, but there's a lot of value when you have a guy who can score 25 points inside the paint and around the paint. There was a quote that came out yesterday. I think I sent it to you, Kevin Herder. We keep trying to
Herder
to say that. Yeah, I'm just joking. I know what they say his name is. All right. They say, he had a quote. It says, my role has the potential to expand a bit more here. A lot of that has to do with Domantas Sabonis. Dude, there's a lot of value when you have a guy inside. It opens up things. So he passes well as well. I don't know. I just don't want to hear the criticism, man, because honestly, I think the criticism should be pointed elsewhere. So if you had to pick on some people to point it at, Ryan, who are you going to pick it at, point it at right now in this stretch of the season? Who's your number one fucking target?
Honestly, Harrison Barnes, dude. Sorry, man. You know, everybody wants to talk about, oh, he's such this. He's a, you know, he's a locker room guy and he does a little bit of everything. I'm sorry, man. This guy played 35 fucking minutes last night, had 9 points, 5 rebounds, 4 for 10 from the field, 1 for 4 from the 3-point line, you know, and I could live with it, dude. If he was like we've said, if he was like a lockdown defender, fuck yeah, dude, I'll take that all day long. But the fact that you're not playing no defense, you're not rim protecting, and you're not a good rebounder, you have to bring something to the, you know, you have to bring something. I watched yesterday. Okay. De'Aaron Fox gets into the paint in the fourth quarter, throws it to the corner to a wide open Harrison Barnes, dude. Wide open. He fucking airballs it from the corner, dude. And I'm sitting there, I'm just like, you got to be fucking kidding me, dude. It was like coming down at kind of crunch time. And it's just like, holy shit, dude, you have to be able to airball. Come on, man. You know, so I'm going to be on that shit all year, dude. I'm going to be on it. The guy is on an expiring contract. It looks like Sacramento's headed in the right direction. It looks like, you know, he had his worst game of his career so far yesterday, Keegan Murray, but it looks like Keegan Murray's more than capable to start at the three and take over that role for Harrison Barnes for the next few years. So I'm going to be on it, dude. He has to find a way to affect the game. He has to find a way to be a positive on the stat sheet and on the game, dude. You can't play 35 fucking minutes a night, dude, and not score. You can't.
I'm getting close, Ryan. I don't care if this is even smart or not, but I'm not saying, okay, I'll say this hypothetically. I wouldn't really trip, and I wouldn't be concerned. I wouldn't worry if they just put Trey Lyles in the starting lineup and put HB on the bench. I don't think it would matter. I don't think it would affect anything. That's you know, the Harrison Barnes throws career is what he is. He's not a bad player. Obviously, when you can score, you know, mid-teens consistently, play out there, play two positions, you have value. And I think he has value in the trade market because of that. But it's not what the Kings need. They, you know, and that's the thing with players. When you acquire players, sign players, is that you have an idea or vision of what their role is. Well, when they got Harrison Barnes, that was another GM ago. That was like, what, three coaches ago. That's three coaches ago. And they had a vision for him, and the team was at a different place. Now they're several years later, new coaches, everyone else is taking it to the next level.
He's the oldest player on the roster.
Yeah, at this point, like, it didn't work. Okay. Not, I don't blame him why it didn't work the last couple of years. And I don't, but there's a lot of other factors to that. But at this point, like, it's not what the Kings need. And it's actually probably going to turn into a problem.
Yeah. I mean, he's not the oldest player on the roster, Dellavedova, I guess. But, dude, look at this. Harrison Barnes, dude, he's averaging, you know, how many points is this? Let me see real quick. 11 points per game. All right. But he's shooting freaking. I'm fine. 11 points per game. Like, it is what it is, right? You're going to be the fourth or fifth option. That's completely fine. All right. But this is the problem. He's shooting 38% from the field. Okay. 18% from the 3-point line. 18% from the 3-point line. Guys, I could fucking go out there and might be able to shoot better than 18%, dude.
Yeah, I don't know if in a real game you could. Well,
yeah, I might not be able to get the shot off. You're right. But you understand what I'm saying, right? Like, I'm exaggerating, but it's like, holy shit, dude. Like, there's a lot of guys in the NBA who could just throw up. He shoots almost 4 3-pointers per game. Just throw up a shot. They're going to go 1 for 4. And it's not like, and it's like this too, you know, like last night. It's not like he's not open. He was wide fucking open in the corner in the air ball. So it's like, you know, Harrison Barnes is that guy that I'm going to be at all year. And it's like, dude, you can't shoot 18%. Holy shit, dude. What is this freaking Dwight Howard out there?
Well, it's, and that's where my take is kind of going, Ryan, is that's not what they don't need him anymore to be a low block, get a bucket late in the shot clock score. They don't need him to be that guy on there who can kind of, you know, have some scoring versatility, so to speak, from all over if needed. They don't need that little bit of everything guy. What the Kings really would benefit now from is either a player who can shoot a little bit better and is just bigger, or just someone who's all straight up defense and he offers maybe not really much on it doesn't really, I mean, that really is going to serve them when you're a number. It's like I said, the roster has changed over the last bunch of years, like tremendously. And you had a vision for the guy and you brought him in and that was his role. That's no longer his role right now. That's not what they need from him. And so it's kind of almost in the same light we talked about with Sabonis and Buddy Hield in the past and every other player. Fox last year is like, why ask a guy to do what they, you know, what they don't do? You know, you're kind of getting a subpar version of that person by asking them to do that. And so I think that it's inevitable. They're going to move him. They're going to move him. And so, you know, what's frustrating to me the most sitting here in this point, this is why over the years, when we talk about contracts and managing assets, we always talk about that when you're building a team, it's not always about players. A lot of it's about contracts and making the smart move and getting value. When it's a salary cap league, you have to do that. And man, how frustrating is it sitting, honestly, Kings fans, will be honest right now. I'll ask you a straight question. How frustrating is it that you have Harrison Barnes and Rashawn Holmes eating up about $30 million of cap space right now. Think about that. That's why when you know, we're talking about Rashawn Holmes getting paid and Ryan are telling you, no, let the guy walk, trade him. Who cares? Just let him go. Well, because at some point, maybe it's not in the next month or two, like, it, you know, but maybe at some point in 2 to 3 years, or in Holmes's case, in less than a year, like, it becomes a fucking hindrance. And then now you're frustrated. Now you have a team, which I would consider ascending. You need 10 guys. You need all 10 guys to play a real role. You can't have any guy. Holmes is not even playing. He's a non-fucking factor. When he does play, he's lost. He doesn't really offer anything that they need from him. Cool, he does. You know, guys have to fucking play. When you're on the bench, you have to get in where you fit in and excel. Some guys can do it, some guys can't. It was great for Rashawn Holmes when he was playing 30 minutes a night and being the primary pick and roll player to get his little, you know, 10 points or whatever he was doing. It was easy for him to do that, you know? And so it's so frustrating to sit here today and be like, HB and Holmes are eating up that much cap space, two roster spots. What are they offering to the Kings? Legitimately, what are they offering the Kings? So I would say that this year, like, you know, outside of what's going on the court, that's a big win for me, is if they can trade those guys and somehow free up the cap and get a couple players, like, more power to them. I mean, more power to them. And it's in it, like, everything is wish you would have done it sooner. Right. Wish this would have been done sooner kind of deal. Right. Because now it only, if you had done it before, you're going to, you know, you'd reap the benefits at that time. Now you're going to reap the benefits later on. And that's, you know, it's not to be pessimistic, because like we said, I think we're really excited about where the Kings season's at and what they're doing and everything. But that's the biggest hole, is like, come on, guys, you got these veteran players, so to speak, everyone loved, is making a bunch of money, and they're not doing shit, non-factors, dude. And that's a bit frustrating when you can kind of see it. When you kind of see the closeness. I mean, look at the last bunch of games, Ryan, playing the Miami Heat. You know, the not a travel call that wasn't called, that sucks. The first game against Portland, we were in the arena. I felt like the Kings were right there, and probably, you know, I'm never gonna say should have won the game, but you know, they were there, were right in the thick of it. I mean, that's how close things can be. It's a long season, so to speak, but you want to squeeze when your team like the Kings. That's what other teams like the Grizzlies, Ryan. A couple of years ago, like the Knicks, when the Knicks went on that little run a couple of years ago. There's always these random teams out there that they squeeze everything they've got out of the roster, out of the sponge, so to speak. There's no wasted space. There's no wasted roles. There's not a bunch of bullshit. You don't have, you know, 20% of your active rotation just being a non-factor. And so that's going to kill me, is at the end of the day, if we, you know, get a couple months down the line, you know?
Yeah, you know, I completely agree. When you have two guys on your roster that are making that type of money, you know, and you're a fringe team like Sacramento, you have to get the most out of that roster, right? That's the recipe right there for not making the playoffs. And, you know, those, you got to be able to take that next step. So for Sacramento, I don't think that you can afford to wait another year or two for, you know, Harrison Barnes or Holmes. You know, you have to make the moves now and make sure that you get in the playoffs this year and you're heading in the right direction. We've came on here and talked about it multiple times. I've said this multiple times that, you know, eventually De'Aaron Fox is going to get frustrated, right? And if you're not surrounding him with guys to take him to the next level and get this roster where it needs to go, guys are going to get disgruntled. People are going to get fired. Guys are going to request trades. So I think it's extremely important when you have a guy like De'Aaron Fox, who's obviously statistically at that next level already, that you do everything you can to make sure that he's getting into the playoffs, getting in that national spotlight. But when you're paying two guys almost $30 million, who are two of the older guys on the roster, two of the guys that aren't producing, they're playing poorly, you just can't have that. You have to maximize what you have now. So I come February, you know, I'm sure we always do our trade deadline specials and stuff, but I expect those two guys to be in the mix, for guys that we have getting traded, and, hopefully bringing back some dudes who can play a role, whether defensively or better shooters or rim protectors, and kind of, you know, hide those bad attributes of the team.
Well, You can't, and that's the thing is you can't make all the moves in one move. You can't solve all your problems rather in one foul swoop, in one move. It doesn't work that way. So it's, you kind of got to do it piece by piece. And when you're doing things piece by piece, you can't, there's like, there are a lot of like variables that could come up. Like guys age out, their role changes. You may need to rely on them less. Can they still offer you what you're gonna need from that time? You got to like project that. And then at the end of the day, you have to maintain cap flexibility. And really both of those takes right there, they really do apply to Harrison Barnes, and then they apply to Rashawn Holmes. And in Harrison Barnes' case, it really was about where's this guy gonna be 3 years from now? And is it gonna be a fact? Now, if I think for him, at that time, you expected Buddy Hield to be a core player. You expected Marvin Bagley to develop. So, you know, I don't blame him. And honestly, I don't blame the Kings. I really don't. I don't blame anybody. I'm not angry about it. I'm not frustrated about it. It's just now I feel that it's ran its course. And with it being expiring, with his value in the league, it's time. It's just time. I mean, I'm just pointing it out. Now, I'm not hating on me. Rashawn Holmes, though, I am hating on that because that's purely about bad cap management. I think Monty McNair has been a magician. We call him Monty Big Balls McNair since he's been here. He's drafted well. He's managed assets well. He's let some guys walk. But I think with Rashawn Holmes, dude, I think that dude felt the pressure of the fan base. And I think that he felt the pressure of ownership. I really do. Because I think of any basketball acumen, you know, would have went in there and looked and not done that. I think the big one was when how he didn't get traded and people like, or they signed him and everyone's like, well, you know, there was a huge market. There's this huge, trust me, there was a huge market. But we heard, we're like, I don't think there was a market for him. I don't think there was a market for him. So I think anybody with actual basketball acumen would have not given him that contract. You know what I mean?
Yeah, obviously there was no market because people were saying that in Sacramento, at least, oh, Rashawn Holmes going to get 18 to 20 million. And then the Kings sign him for, you know, 11 point whatever. I think the market was non-existent. I think everybody kind of saw what Rashawn Holmes was, just like we did. And the thing is it comes off as we're hating. I don't think Rashawn Holmes is a bad NBA player. I think he has a role in the NBA. But in Sacramento, he got elevated. They elevated him to this place where I was seeing posts, everyone's tradable except for Rashawn Holmes. Seriously, those were takes that were going around, trade the whole roster, build around Rashawn Holmes. That's the kind of shit that was happening in Sacramento. And, you know, McNair, yeah, that's probably his one bad move so far, where he felt the pressure. But I mean, you can't be perfect, dude. He was probably walking around the concourse like I am in Sacramento, seeing all these goddamn Rashawn Holmes jerseys for some freaking reason. And he was like, fuck, man, you know, we weren't very good. I probably need to, you know, make sure I sell a little bit of tickets. You know what I mean? Like, I got to do a little bit of something. So it is what it is, man. We might look back a year from now, and Sacramento might take another step and get truly in the middle of the pack. And we're going to be looking at that Rashawn Holmes contract and be like, damn, I really wish we didn't have this on our roster right now. I really wish we didn't. So
shit, looking back, dude, we were looking ahead. And that's what kills me. That's why I bring it up. I thought it was worthy of a conversation because it's, you know, people like to make takes, Ryan, over time. They like to make takes, but then there's been some people out there with us who've gone with us on the chat, you know, on the Kingsland threads and all that stuff. And they've gone toe-to-toe with us. But people don't like to revisit their takes. They don't like to look back 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. They don't like to look back on that stuff. Oh, I just focused on the past, whatever, whatever. You know, you're pretty passionate about that. You know what I mean? So it's worthy of addressing it. And to wrap the take on him, the Kings, I think, you know, as I think besides the fan pressure, I think the Kings tried to go cheap. I think they were like, you know what? If we can kind of get our center position for 10 million, you know, 12 million, something in that range, and kind of land that, then we might be able to kind of cheap out on that position and go elsewhere. But I think they found out real quickly, which is funny. They've been out real quickly because they traded for Sabonis, you know, within 3 months. So they clearly knew. If they would have made that move, if they did know, that was the sign. You know, people can tell you things and you can believe them, or people can show you through their actions and then you really know. And the Kings, what have the Kings shown you through their actions? Right. So it is what it is. We've made our point, and I'm going to probably continue to make this point as long as these players become a hindrance and until something's done about it. And you know, I'm not going to beat the podcast with it, but I do want to consistently bring it up and put it in the back of people's minds, because the Rashawn Holmes things was probably one of the biggest. It, I would say, besides the bogey versus buddy thing, it was the, this one probably even bigger. It was the biggest thing where you and I were just basically on an island, plus or minus a couple people. We were totally on an island out there for literally 2 years. And so sometimes you got to be the only one to make the point. Looking ahead on some Kings games, Ryan, too bad there's not a lot of home. We talked about last week, not a lot of home games coming up. So they were on a road stretch, but there is one coming up this Wednesday against the Cavs. So that's cool. And then next Sunday, at home versus the Warriors. You know what, I don't think I want to go. They're playing the Warriors two times the next week. We talked about how shitty that is for the Kings, but at least you get out of the way. I don't really want to go to the Warriors games in the Golden 1 Center anymore. I went last year. It was probably the most annoying. I didn't think about this. I don't know why, but dude, Warriors fans are just Raiders fans. It's the same dumbasses, same people. It's the same fucking people. It's the low life Raiders fans and the low life Niners fans. It's the same goddamn people. They're in the arena. Warriors. I'm like, okay, like, so basically you just saying the Raiders shit. Just, you know, there was a guy in front of me the entire time yelling, and I'm like, I can't do this. This is annoying. I can't do this, man. Are you planning on going to any of these, or are you moving off the tickets? What are you gonna do?
I already gave the Golden State tickets away. And the Cleveland game, I am actually texting the guy right now who has season tickets next to me. We're trying to figure out a way where he wants to go Wednesday. So I'm probably going to give him the tickets, and I'm going to swap out some tickets later on with him in the season so I could bring some friends to the game. But yeah, I'm probably not going to be down at the Golden 1 for a short minute. Probably I'm looking the next game, maybe November 20th at like 3 p.m. It's against the Pistons, dude. That might be the next game that I'd be able to make it to.
That'd be a fun one to go to. Yeah, I think I'm staring down the barrel, and I'm right ahead of that. I've already committed to go to the at Los Spurs. I like when they put this on their jerseys, Los Spurs. That'd be good. Hopefully they win that one. All right, Ryan. I don't know. We talked about on the trends at this point. Like, it's still wait and see. We got to wait until after Christmas to make a decision. You got to be happy with the Kings being on the road, competing with some teams like they have. Even in some of the close losses against the Clippers, you know, two point loss. They kind of stormed back last week or 2 weeks ago, rather, against the Warriors. You know, so they're playing well. They're doing their thing. De'Aaron Fox is hot. Keegan Murray looks like the guy. Sabonis is what he is. We can save it for the next time, Ryan. I'm not going to crush the guy early, but Davion Mitchell's a player to watch. He's the guy I'm going to watch. I'm going to put the target on him, because he's going to have to find a way to play off of the bench and kind of succeed there, just because of the role he's in, right, Ryan? And he's kind of not doing that right now, and that is a bit concerning, but let's chill out and wait until the next time so we have more things to bitch about. So, yeah, so hey guys, we appreciate you listening in. If you ever want to interact and be part of the show, you can always do so by tagging us. You can find Ryan and I on Twitter and Facebook at KingsCast Eric and at KingsCast Ryan. We're pretty active, including Kingsland. Check that out. Join it. Coolest game threads. Interact with us and other people. If you want to support KingsCast, please slide down on Apple Podcasts or slide up on Spotify after the show and leave us a 5-star review. It really does help us reach more Kings fans just like you. And if you ever want to check out more episodes, you can always find us on the Believe Podcast Network, where we are the Sacramento Kings signature show. So with that, for Ryan, this is Eric. Go Kings.
Kings.